You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello and welcome to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, the Crypt Keeper of Comics.
And my name is Kevin, the Chancellor of Creepy Pain, Creeping Horror, and Creeping Suffering.
Okay, buddy. You're talking way too much for us here. And we are here to talk about horror movies.
Holy crap, that scares me. Stop it, Kevin. Stop it. Jesus. We're just joking around.
Look, I'm sorry. Sometimes...
Ooh, you got a little too intense for me.
Look, sometimes...
I peed a little.
Sometimes when the spirits take over, you just can't help yourself.
I guess. Jeez, good Lord. Anyway, we're here to talk about horror movies. Just a little special here for the holidays, for Halloween. We wanted to get this up and out. We just like to talk once in a while, just spotlight some things that we like to do or some things that we like, and we thought the audience might be interested in as well. Some of these things might have some comic book connections. A lot of them might not, but we'll see. Kevin, let's get started. What do you want to talk about as far as horror films? What really shakes your bacon?
Well, I'll start with the classic from the early 70s, the original Wicker Man. Of course, not the Nicolas Cage one, but the original Wicker Man.
Oh, the Nicolas Cage one. Bees. Not the bees.
Yeah, that's...
And then when he punches that lady in the face.
Yeah.
And then when he's dressed in the big teddy bear costume. That movie is amazing on so many levels. Just for being...
For the wrong reasons.
Get drunk and watch it. Everybody out there listening, rent the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man and get drunk and watch it and thank me later. But if you want to watch a good movie, I guess you'd watch the original.
Watch the original one for the 70s. It's a very... slow but very creepy movie. Like when you see the end, the twist at the end, it's pretty shocking.
Yeah, with the it's like the Statue of Liberty on the beach.
No, you're thinking of Planet of the Apes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a different movie. That was a shocking twist.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
But no.
Well, what about when all the giant Audrey 2s are taking over New York and destroying everything?
No, that's something different, sir.
Oh, that's... Okay, that's a little... Oh, that's a little Shop of Horrors.
There you go.
Okay,
sorry. There you go. Which, by the way, the original version had Jack Nicholson, the 1950s version.
Yes, it did. That was a Corman film, correct?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And then the remake of that...
In the 80s?
Yeah, I think it was directed by Frank Oz.
And I think Rick Moranis was in it.
Right. And Bill Murray played the role that Jack Nicholson played back then. Which is pretty cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Bill Murray's role, how he performed it, was so good that it made you forget about Jack Nicholson's performance.
Now that is very unusual, and that shows you how talented he is.
Yep, absolutely. Anyway, you were saying?
Yep, I'm just saying, watch the early Wicker Man from the early 70s. You're in for a treat. It's a movie that you don't think is going to go a certain way, but when it goes a certain way, it's pretty like, you're pretty much like, wow, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I can agree there. Since we're talking about something that's back a little bit in time, I'm going to go with a 1982 classic, The Thing.
Oh, you can't go wrong there.
Yeah.
That is definitely a classic. Now, of course, interestingly enough, that also
was a
remake from the 1950s. But you know what? This is a situation where I can recommend both versions.
Yeah, and they gave a little love to the original, too, this one,
yes.
Which was nice. This one was directed by John Carpenter and had Kurt Russell was the big star in there. Although I must say Wilford Brimley was also quite awesome in this film.
Absolutely. As much as other actors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, for me, it was, Keith David was in it, too. He was a great Keith David. I think he was also in...
They Live.
Yeah.
By the way, I might as well just say it right now. They Live is also another late 80s classic with, of course, the late, great Roddy Piper.
Roderick. Yep. Absolutely. But anyway, getting back to The Thing, the basic story of this is a remote Antarctica, a group of research scientists are disturbed at their base camp by a helicopter shooting at a sled dog. They take the dog in. It brutally attacks both human beings and canines in the camp, and they discover that the beast can assume the shape of its victims. So it basically starts to... it's kind of a, like a body snatcher type thing. You don't know which person in the camp is human and which is this creature.
And it makes you paranoid.
And the practical effects on this are amazing.
Holds up today?
I mean, yes, absolutely. Just horrifying. I don't recommend little kids to see it because it took me a long time to want to see it as an adult. I actually only watched it for the first time. I think it was like 5-6 years ago.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. But no shit. And I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I was like, why did I wait so long? Like, I think sometimes when you're younger, your parents seem to psych you out about stuff. Like, oh no, you wouldn't like that. Don't watch that. So like, I just went on in life going, oh, I won't like that. I'm not going to watch that. And then somebody's like, just watch it. So I went and watched it on the big screen.
Oh, good.
They
good,
have
good.
A theater out here in Los Angeles. It's the Egyptian Theater.
Oh.
And very old school.
Classic.
Top notch. Yeah. And we went there to watch a screening of it. It was a double feature because they had that and Big Trouble in Little China was playing.
Hmm.
And John Carpenter was there doing a Q&A in between, which was awesome. It's also funny because Carpenter kept saying throughout the whole thing when people would ask him questions, he'd be like, I don't know, man. I was high most of the time.
Well, he is. You know, he comes from that generation.
He does, yeah. But, you know, to be high all the time and make that much money, good God. Hey, you know?
Some people could do it. Some people can't.
It's a talent.
That's yes, it a is. Talent. It's very much a talent.
Yeah. Well, what do you got next?
You know, I'm gonna stay in this classical 70s, 80s mope. The original 1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh yeah, I was reading somewhere that it said that there was only one chainsaw incident or one person was killed with a chainsaw or something like that.
Yeah, interesting enough, pretty much.
Yeah.
And what's good about this movie? It's more about the psychological terror. It's really not gory, to be honest with you. It's not that much blood. Per se, as you would think there would be.
Per se.
It's really about the psychological terror, especially, you know, you get to the classical last girl character.
Uh-huh.
What she goes through is so realistic.
They refer to that as the final girl.
Yeah, the final girl. It's so realistic that you can see why it's such a classical movie, because they do a good job. Toby Hooper does a good job with the camera work, focusing it.
Toby Hooper. That's a name that I've heard before. He did another.
Poltergeist.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And that was another one that I've only seen within the last 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a classic.
Scared the shit out of me.
You know what? That came out the same year as The Thing.
I had a nightmare. I hadn't had a nightmare in years. And I watched that movie, and that night I had a horrible nightmare. It was crazy. I was like being held against, I got pulled off the bed, thrown against the wall, pushed into the corner, and then just held there. And I was being literally pushed into the wood in the corner.
That's scary.
Yeah, it was freaky.
Now, part two of that, I hate to go off topic here a little bit, but Poltergeist 2 has a scene that freaked me out when I was a kid that I could never get out of my head, and that's the one with the worm.
I've never seen Poltergeist 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you watch Poltergeist 2, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about out there.
Okay.
It's very freakish, very freaky, even to this day.
You can say what happens. I don't care.
Oh, well, I'll leave it for the audience. Let them discover the horror.
All right. Yeah, you can discover the horror.
But yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, check it out. It's a classic. I mean, obviously, it's low budget, but that's what makes the movie so effective.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like you're watching almost like a documentary in a way.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to stay within this realm here for now, I'm going to go with Chud.
Chud.
Chud, Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. that one, the big names on that is John Hurt and Daniel Stern. That one was the basic premise of this is a photographer is documenting the lives of subterranean homeless people, a population that has mysteriously dwindled. And then after receiving information from a reporter, this character, the guy that's doing the documentary, becomes aware of a conspiracy theory about cannibalistic monsters lurking in the sewers.
Hmm.
So it's actually pretty cool. Pretty cool, kind of a almost a zombie film in a way. Had a small budget, if I recall, just a little over $1 million. Of course, this was back, I think, in the early 80s, like 83, 84.
You could do a lot with that money back then.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. But a great little film nonetheless. A creepy horror takes place in the sewers and in people's apartments and stuff in and around New York City, I believe, is where it was based. So really cool little horror film. Highly recommend you check it out.
Yes, yes, indeed.
What do you got?
Next one I have would be the 1995 classical movie, Seven.
Oh, shit.
Now, that to me is a very, very well-done movie. Well-written movie, well-directed movie, well-acted movie.
Mm-hmm.
You have four famous actors in this movie.
Four?
Actually, really more than that, to be honest with you. I would say five or six, but the main four would be Gwyneth Paltrow, Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, and another person who I can't say the name, because if I do, then it might give away the movie. If you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that yep. person.
Yeah.
So, a movie based on the Seven Deadly Sins, very well executed. You have a serial killer out there who's killing people based on them literally committing one of those
Fincher,
sins.
Fincher, right?
Yes.
Directed
it? Fincher.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, it has that very, very, the tonality of it is very part of the story itself. It really speaks to yes. how it looks, you and, know, and how it feels.
Yeah, Fincher is definitely a talented filmmaker. I believe it's the movie he made after Alien 3, interesting enough, which is, you know, it gets beat up on throughout the series.
Who wrote that?
Alien 3?
Yeah, wasn't that Josh Whedon?
No, he wrote Alien Resurrection.
Oh, that's the fourth, right. He wrote the fourth. Yeah, you're right.
Third one went through so many rights, through so many different scripts, but anyway, that's a whole different story for another pod, but Fincher, you see his talent throughout that story. I mean, you are held to the edge of your seat, wondering what's going to happen next. I mean, definitely one of my personal favorite horror, but also slash psychological slash mystery movies all time. And also, as I said before, well acted. Everyone does their part well. Please check it out. You will not go wrong.
Check it out. And if you check that one out, also check out something a little different, a little off the reservation, so to speak. Tremors. Now, this one, just to give you a real quick, story about it, it's there's a repairman who's played by Kevin Bacon, and then he has a friend that's played by Fred Ward, and they're tired of their dull lives in a small desert town in Nevada, but just as the two, they try to leave and get out of there, they happen upon a series of mysterious deaths and a concerned seismologist studying unnatural readings below the ground. And with the help of an eccentric couple, which is Reba McEntire and Michael Gross, the group fight for survival against worm-like monsters. They're giant worms that eat human flesh.
Mm.
So basically, if you get on the ground, the actual dirt, they can come up from underneath and grab you and swallow you whole.
That is pretty scary.
And pull you underneath. They have like these tongues with these little grabber things on them that come up and can grab you and pull you down into the dirt. Really freaky, really cool little film for the early 90s. I think it was 1990-1991, but Ron Underwood directed that one. It was a highly recommended. It's fun, not too gory, you know, just scary fun. That one I can also recommend pretty highly. Check it out. Check it out. Anything else? What do you got? Hit me.
Simple classic, 1984's Nightmare on Elm Street. Many of you probably have seen it, but then again, some of you I've found out over the years, some people I know have not seen it before, which is really shocking. But the first Freddy Krueger film?
Yeah, it took me a long time, too, for that one as well.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like slasher films in general, really.
Well, that first one is very, I mean, obviously it's the first appearance of Johnny Depp in a movie. That's one thing it's famous for.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has some, you know, I would say some, you know, nice groundbreaking horror effects, if you know what I mean, with some of the kills.
Uh-huh.
But it's done in a very creative but very artistic way. And also, Freddy is not the same Freddy that he would be later, where he's wisecracking and whatnot. He's actually more, you know, a frightening, demonic character, I would say.
Oh, okay.
Especially the first two movies or so. He's not the what people know him for yet.
Right. Okay. That one, I watched it. Took me a long time. I think I watched Halloween before I watched that one.
Nothing wrong with that. That's another classic.
I watched Halloween 1, 2, 3, and 4, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I was dating this girl at the time, and she was like, you got to watch these. And I was like, all right, I guess. As long as we're going to keep having sex.
Wow, that's all you're in it for? Shame on you.
Hey, I was young. Come on.
Don't you want to get to know these ladies first?
I did, actually. I don't know why you don't think I did. I took no time. I just went right into watching movies with them. Yep. Ah. I have another one here I want to briefly mention. I'm going to say briefly.
Go ahead.
It's creepy. It's Jeepers Creepers. Came out in like 2001.
Jeepers Creepers, yeah.
Yeah. It's good. I honestly prefer the sequel, the second one, because it's more fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a, you can almost laugh at it in a way.
You gotta take it too seriously.
Right. It's got Justin Long in it, and that's the big name in this movie. The only thing about this movie, and I'll mention briefly about the story. It's after making a horrific discovery in a basement of an old abandoned church, Trish and her brother, Derry, watch their routine road trip go from college turn into a heart-stopping race for their lives. They find themselves the chosen prey of an indestructible force that relentlessly pursues them and gives a new and chilling meaning to the old song, Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those peepers? So basically, it's kind of like After Your Eyes, I think is the way it goes. And it was directed by Victor Salva. That's where there's a little caveat. A lot of people there's trouble separating the work from the creator.
Right.
And Victor Salva was, he was accused and was found guilty of being a pederast, which is basically a man that enjoys the flavor of young boys. And I know that's
disturbing.
That's disturbing, and it's hard to set that aside when you watch something like this. I had seen this in most of the other ones, too, and I think they did like a third one or something. But I watched the first one and the second one before I found out anything about that. That actually occurred, this was 2001 when this movie came out, but that occurred back I think it was in the 80s, like 88, 89.
Wow, that long ago?
Yeah, so... You know, people can change, don't get me wrong. And where it originally occurred was on the set of a film called Clown House that he also had directed.
Wow, that's a creepy title to...
Right.
Yeah.
Again, poor clowns always getting a bad name. But if you can set aside the thought of the director in the work, I think that Jeepers Creepers and Jeepers Creepers 2 are fun horror films of their own devices, and you know, maybe if you feel like it, give it a shot and check them out.
All right, another one I want to mention really quickly is another favorite of mine from, interestingly enough, the same year, 1995, Candyman.
Ooh, Candyman.
That one has a classically trained actor in Tony Todd. Very well done movie. Also has Virginia Madsen in it as the lead protagonist. Very good chemistry between the two as how it plays off. But Candyman is basically based on a legendary character, kind of like, you know, Bloody Mary. You say the name multiple times and the character appears. And he is a frightening but also a very attractive character. Like you're fascinated by him. He's well dressed. You know, he has the hook for a hand. Well done. Well done movie, in my opinion.
You know, I've never seen Candyman.
You're joking.
Nope, never seen it.
You gotta watch it, man.
Okay, I'll put it on the list for this year.
You gotta watch
before
it.
Halloween.
The first two, the third one is not good, but the first two.
Well, at least
two,
watch the first one before Halloween. I got a lot to get through.
Yes, you do.
I just watched the original Amityville Horror last night for the first time.
You don't say.
Yeah, took me a bit.
You know?
That was 79, I think.
Yeah, I think 78, 78, so 79.
40 years,
like
you know.
Yeah. You know, I grew up not too far away from there, like maybe like 45 minutes away from where the Amityville house.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's on Long Island.
Oh, okay. Long Island. Nice. I got one real quick. Frighteners, 1996.
There
Peter
we go.
Jackson directed film. This actually lost him the ability to do his version of King Kong at first.
Right.
Because he wanted to do it. Universal was like, okay, you can do it after Frighteners. Frighteners tanked in the box office, and they're like, no, you can't do King Kong. So then what did Peter Jackson do? He's like, all right, fine. I'll go, like, make Lord of the Rings or something.
But after that, you can do anything you want.
Yeah. And then he can write his own, you know, his own path. But basically, Frank Bannister, which is Michael J. Fox, he wasn't an architect, but he now passes himself off as an exorcist of evil spirits, saying passes himself off as because he can actually see and communicate with the dead. And he uses them to trick the living into like a con artist type scenario. He'll have them go and haunt, and then he'll pretend that he's ghost busting, and then they'll get in the car and go home with him. And so what he does not count on, though, is that more people start dying in the small town where he lives. And as he tries to piece this together, the mystery of the supernatural, he falls in love with this girl. And then runs into this crazy FBI agent played by Jeffrey Combs, who is flipping amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
One of his best performances, I would say, of all time. Jeffrey Combs, if you're listening, you nailed this. I know I met the man, I think it was, what, last year? Or the year before I met him. They played the Reanimator.
I was about to ask you that. What is it saying for Rihanna?
Again, at the Egyptian.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and he did a Q&A for that, and I got to get up and talk to him. And it was great because we were talking about Frighteners, and then I asked him, I said, man, I said, I thought that you, of all people, would have been Grimma Wormtongue for Lord of the Rings. Because, like, after doing this performance in Frighteners, I said, I thought that you'd written your ticket for that role.
What did he say?
And he said, well, a peculiar thing that you don't really notice so much with Peter Jackson is he doesn't usually like to use the same actors twice. Now, obviously, with The Lord of the Rings, it's a little different.
A little different.
You know, in The Hobbit and stuff. But normally, if you look back, yeah, he doesn't really like to use the same actors twice. He likes to work with different talent each time. So I was like, well, damn. You know.
So he's not, he doesn't want a Martin Scorsese it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's The Frighteners. So I highly, highly recommend that. I love that film when it came out. I watched it 2 times in the theater.
It's one of those movies that it's a shame that it didn't do well initially when it was out in theaters. But what happens sometimes, it falls through the cracks, but then on home video, that's what saves it.
Yeah, it needs like a revival, I think.
Revival.
Yeah. Well, let's since we're running out of time, let's name off a couple, two or three, just real quick, just the title and a quick log line of the ones we like. Anything else?
The Fly. I'll say the 86 version with Jeff Goldblum.
The Goldblum one, yeah. Met him at Rockwell in Las Feliz. Great man. So warm and nice and just beautiful jazz musician too. I highly recommend, like, if you're ever out in LA, going to the Rockwell and seeing him perform. It's fantastic. Another one really quick, The Final Girls.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what a final girl is. It's the final girl in the film of a horror film that fights the big baddie.
Talked about that earlier.
So this is basically about that these kids are in a movie theater when a fire pops up. And they somehow get sucked into the movie, and then they have to figure out how to survive this horror film and become the final girls in the film to live through it. So it's a comedy horror.
Clever.
Yeah, came out just a few years ago, like 2015. So highly recommend that one. Very fun. You got another one real quick?
The first Saw movie. And interesting enough, I met Tobin Bell, the guy who played Jigsaw. And he's also a very nice, warm individual.
Nice. Yeah, he seemed like he would be pretty cool, to be honest. Yeah. You met him at Comic-Con?
Yeah, I met at Comic-Con. He signed my poster. You know, yeah. He's a cool guy.
That's awesome. Another one real quick, Mom and Dad. That came out just 2-3 years ago. It's 2017 horror film. They classified it as a mystery thriller, but it's not really. A teenage girl and her little brother try to survive a wild 24 hours during which a mass hysteria of unknown origin causes parents to turn violently on their own children. So basically, that instinct, you know, they call it a paternal instinct, that gets reversed. And instead of them wanting to love and care for their kids, they want to kill them because they don't want them to exist. So it's all about them, like the kids hiding, and then their mom and dad trying to get at them to kill them through the whole movie.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's Selma Blair in one of her best performances, and it's Nicolas Cage in... You know, Nick, when he goes full Nick, and he's full Nick in this.
I'm not surprised.
And but it's in a fun way.
Hmm.
Very good movie. Highly recommend it. It's a quick one, too. Anything else you can think of?
Creepshow.
Creepshow. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, and I heard the second one. Didn't they do a second one too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Creepshow 2. I heard that one's really fun too. But yeah, I haven't seen Creepshow in years. Now they have that TV series on Shudder, I think is the horror network.
Yeah,
the horror online. Network. Yeah, they have the Creepshow TV series on there, which I have to check out.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. Another one real quick, I think this will be our last one, is Trick or Treat. Came out about 12 years ago. Interwoven stories demonstrate that some traditions are best not forgotten. Basically, it has one about werewolves and goblins and stuff. Another one about a serial killer and a jack-o'-lantern. Another one about an old miser and being attacked in his home. And I think there's one final one. I can't remember quite offhand, but it's a series of interwoven stories. It's a lot of fun. Directed by Michael Dougherty, who I think that's the guy that did the most recent Godzilla film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So going from this little indie horror film that kind of got buried, unfortunately, because of, new head honchos changing hands in the movie business world.
Yeah.
And then moving on to direct a huge Godzilla film. Kind of a crazy world we live in. But, Kevin, I think that's going to do us. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming out and listening. We really appreciate it.
Yes, and before we go, please listen to our advertisement for one of our favorite people.
Oh, sorry to interrupt, everyone. Just wanted to mention real quick about a shop in Canoga Park, California called Spiro's Heroes. Elliot, the proprietor of the store, has over 300,000 books in what's called the Temple of Comics. That's Spiro Heroes in Canoga Park. SpiroHeroes.com.
Wow, that was scary. Scary how good of deals he gives you.
Absolutely. The Godfather always comes through.
Yes, always comes through. Always comes through. And with that, thank you for all for listening. Please, please, please find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're on Twitter. You can always listen to our podcast on YouTube, iTunes.
Spotify,
Spreaker, Google, right?
Google Play, right?
Yep, Google Play Music. And a host of others. So, maybe we'll see you out and about, and maybe we'll see you
at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.